Joshua chapter 1 is our text this morning. You should have the notes inside of your bulletin there. And if you don't have a Bible with you, you'll find the scriptures as well. I've entitled the message today, God's Provision, Our Decision. God's Provision, Our Decision. How many of you believe that the new year is God's provision? Listen, every breath you breathe is from God. So God's going to provide us with the new year. The question is, what are we going to do with it, you see? And this life is really God's gift to us. What we do with it is our gift to Him, okay? And so we're going to learn today that God gives us opportunity, but what are we going to do with that opportunity? And so Joshua chapter 1, follow with me as I read down through verse 9, beginning in verse 1. Now, after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I have said unto Moses. From the wilderness and this Lebanon, even unto the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and unto the great sea, toward the going down of the sun, shall be your coast. There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee nor forsake thee. Be strong and of a good courage, for unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land which I swear unto their fathers to give them. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein, for then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Have not I commanded thee? Be strong and of good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee, whithersoever thou goest. Now, that's a great verse to meditate on this year. Listen, be strong and be of a good courage, for the Lord thy God is with thee, whithersoever thou goest. We're going to learn what that means. Let's have a word of prayer right now. Father, thank you for this time to open your word and to hear the challenge of this morning. Help us, Father, as you're providing a new year, to make the right decisions about what to do with it. And I thank you for your love and your care to this wonderful church family. Father, bless those that are still traveling on this holiday. Keep them safe. Father, as we celebrate this new year, may we have your hand upon it. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. The year is around 1400 BC, and we find in the book of Joshua the first of the 12 historical books being given by the Holy Spirit to the children of Israel, canonized and kept for us to this very moment today. And as we come to Joshua chapter 1, we see a moment of transition in the history of Israel. And we know that life is filled with moments of transition. There are times when we transition, whether it be with our family or with a company, whether it be in the sense of a new year, transitioning from one year to another. One thing we know for sure is that every year is a gift from God. And folks, I'm going to tell you what, as we prayed this morning for members that are in the hospital, listen, let's thank God that we have the health just to be here this morning. There may be some things that aren't just right in your life or some little things that you might want to nitpick about, but I'm going to tell you what, we are all very blessed just to be here this morning. And the new year is a gift from God, and we need to recognize that He's giving us this new opportunity. And as we consider the transition into a new year, and next week I will preach very definitively concerning the state of our country and world and what is the proper Christian response to the state and to the moment in which we live in world history. But having looked ahead just a bit and considering where we are in the world's history, I want you to know that we serve a God that is able to bring us through every moment of world history and every transition. In fact, with God's calling comes God's enabling. And God's not going to bring you into something that He can't bring you through. Listen, if God brings you to it, God can bring you through it. And I want you to understand that this morning, because with God's calling comes God's enabling. Let's say that together. With With God's calling comes God's, one more time, with God's calling. So God put you on this planet. God saved you. God put you here in this wonderful church. And now we look out to a new year, and there can be some hesitancy perhaps and some wonderment about, boy, what about raising children? What about the culture? What about the economy? But I'm just here to tell you that with God's calling comes God's enabling. And I want you to recognize that for 30 years, we've seen God call this church again and again to project and to reaching out here and reaching out there. And with God's calling comes God's enabling. And I just want to thank him for that today. In fact, I'm just thinking about this too. Today, and my wife's not in this service, she's teaching the fourth grade girls right now, we celebrate today our 35th wedding anniversary, 35 years ago today. I'll never forget that wonderful day. And I'll tell you what we've learned in 35 years of marriage. With God's calling comes God's enabling. Listen, if God brings you to it, God can bring you through it. And so we see in the history of Israel that God is going to bring Joshua to a moment that he was perhaps never even thinking would be possible in his life. And that is to say that God is going to call Moses home, and God is going to bring Joshua into the moment, into the time of transition for the children of Israel. They were at a pivotal moment in their history. Moses, the servant of the Lord, the Bible says, is now dead. And I suppose some would ask the question, well, what will the children of Israel do without such strong leadership? What would they do in this pivotal moment? Would they remain in the wilderness where they had been for 40 years walking around aimlessly? Would they build another golden calf and go into some kind of pagan worship? What would happen with the children of Israel now that Moses is dead? And I want to tell you something. Sometimes people wonder, well, this great political leader is dead. Ronald Reagan's dead. Winston Churchill's dead. Or these great preachers are dead. But I want you to understand this morning, if people love God and love the truth of God, then the truth will always march on. Now, we thank God for strong leadership, and I truly believe that many things rise and fall on strong leadership, but the fact is that in times of transition, God is still at work, and God is going to raise up this man, Joshua, for such a time as this. And I want you to see how that God provided for the children of Israel, and I want you to know he's going to provide for you in 2016 as well. Notice, if you would, a providential transition. A providential transition. The Bible tells us in verse 1, now after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying. Now notice in the first place, the death of Moses. And let's not underestimate that. Yes, God provides other leadership. Yes, God leads through transition. But just pause for a moment to think about this. Moses, my servant, is dead. Moses was a God-ordained leader. God spoke to him at the burning bush in Exodus chapter 3. He was a man that had the anointing of God upon his life. God used him to bring and to pronounce the 10 plagues in Egypt. And while the children of Israel often rebelled against Moses and hardened their hearts and they were stiff-necked, nevertheless, they knew that Moses was God's leader for them. And Moses is now dead. God had given the Ten Commandments through Moses. So I want you just to consider, if you were the average Jewish person, if you were part of the children of Israel and you heard Moses was dead, it would put great pause into your spirit, perhaps as when JFK was assassinated, perhaps as when other great leaders have left the scene. Suddenly there's pause in your spirit. What does this mean for our country? Where do we go from here? Moses, my servant, is dead. God had used Moses in an incredible way. And it definitely would have been easy for some to be filled with fear and to think, this is the end. We're going to wander for 40 more years. We're going to be killed by our enemies out here in the desert. But the fact is that while God wanted them to be grateful for the leadership of the past, the blessing of the past, it was his will that they would keep going forward as a people. And my friend, it is God's will that we go forward in 2016. It is not the time to put the car in neutral. It is not the time to just wait and see what might happen. It is not the time to hide in our church or hide in our houses and cease serving God. I believe God wants this church, your family, our lives to go forward for him in the new year. In fact, the Bible says it this way in Philippians 3:13. Brethren, I count not not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind me and reaching forth in those things which are before, I press toward the mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Paul said, I'm pressing on the upward way. New heights I'm gaining every day. He said, I'm pressing forward. And I believe that even as Moses was dead, it was the will of God, nevertheless, that the people would press on. Now, 2015 is passing by. But I believe it's the will of God that we press on into the new year. The death of Moses. Notice, secondly, the calling of Joshua. The Bible says in verse 2, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel. Now, notice the word here, arise. Would you say that word with me, please? Arise. When God said to Joshua, arise, he was telling him, literally, I want you to stand up on your feet. I want you to take a fixed position. And I want you to persist in what I'm about ready to tell you to do. Look, we're not going to win the Antelope Valley to Christ on our couch at home, nor in our padded seat at Lancaster Baptist Church. We're not going to reach this country for God if Christians are not willing to rise up and persist. And here he simply says, Joshua, I want you to get up. I want you to arise. Moses, my servant, is dead. It's your turn. And Lancaster Baptist Church, it is our turn and it is our time to rise up and do what God has called us to do in the Antelope Valley in reaching this community with the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so God chose a man. Now notice that. Because God is not as interested in methods as he is in men. God did not call a method. He called a man, and that's the plan of God. He did not call a committee. He did not call a denomination. He is looking today for men upon whom he may anoint and bless and use them to teach, to preach, to pray, to love, to forgive, to lead. God is looking for some men who aren't mealy-mouthed men standing around talking about what can't be done or complaining about what didn't go their way or having a little pity party with their situation. God is looking for some men today who'll stand up for Jesus as a soldier of the cross of Jesus Christ. We've got too many men today that are AWOL from the Christian life. Not standing up for Jesus. He said, Joshua, arise. Arise. Some of you men ought to come up out of the abyss of the mediocrity of this world. And in this new year, you ought to, by the grace of God, rise up for Jesus and take your stand. He says, Joshua, I want you to rise up. And God chose a man, Psalm 75 and verse 6, for promotion cometh neither from the east nor from the west nor from the south, but God is the judge. He putteth down one and setteth up another. Now, I don't know about you, but I always get curious in my mind. Why does God choose certain men? Why did God choose Mary to be the mother of Jesus? Why did God choose John the Baptist to be the forerunner? Why does God choose Joshua? I mean, I think we ought to be interested in the characteristics of these men that God used and these ladies that God used in the Bible. Just think about Joshua. We said a few things about Moses a moment ago. Think about Joshua. Why was he chosen? First of all, I believe Joshua was chosen because he was a proven man. He was a proven man. He was a man that had been reliable to Moses, Exodus 17 and 8. Then came Amalek and fought with Israel in Rephidim. And Moses said unto Joshua, choose us out men and go out, fight with us with Amalek. Tomorrow I will stand on the top of the hill with the rod of God in mine hand. So Joshua did as Moses had said to him, and he fought with Amalek. And Moses and Aaron and Hur went up to the top of the hill, and Joshua discomfited Amalek and his people with the edge of the sword. Now, I want to tell you something. If you want God to use you in a greater way, be faithful in the smaller things. And God chose Joshua to lead the people because Joshua had been faithful in battle, fighting against the enemies of God, fighting, the word discomfiting, I mean, tearing apart the Amalekites. And one of the reasons he was chosen was because he wasn't standing in the corner complaining about who bit his kid in the nursery or complaining about what happened at work. Listen, he was a man that was too busy battling to be doing that type of thing. He was a man that had been faithful. And you see, he was chosen because he was a proven man, a dependable man. Gentlemen, let me encourage you, be a dependable man in the new year. Be faithful. Be in the battle. Stand up for Jesus Christ. Joshua was a dependable man. Oh, I think about the time when the 12 spies went into the land. How many of you heard that story when you were a kid in Sunday school? Remember that? Boy, those 12 spies went into the land. And you remember the story, as the Bible tells us in Numbers chapter 14, there were 10 of those spies, and they said, the giants are too big. There's no way we'll ever have victory in the land. There's no way that we should go in there. But there were two men who said, we can take those giants in that land. There were two men, Joshua and Caleb. They were men who were proven men. Joshua, the Bible says in Numbers 14 and verse 8, if the Lord delight in us, then he will bring us into the land and give it to us, a land which floweth with milk and honey. Only rebel not ye against the Lord, neither fear ye the people of the land, for they are bread for us, their defense is departed for them, and the Lord is with us. Fear them not. Did you hear what Joshua said? Hey, if the Lord delight in us, he'll give us that land. If we'll have a right heart with God, if we'll keep believing in God, he'll give us that land. I'm just telling you, Joshua was chosen because he wasn't a mealy mouth, disgruntled. Joshua was chosen because he was a believer in God. He believed that God could do anything but fail. Oh, listen, we need some men who believe that. You know what? I thank God for the men of Lancaster Baptist Church for 30 years. I think of our dear deacons and many of you dear men in the church, and we've said, we need to build this. We need to support this guy. We ought to do this or that, and we've prayed through it. Thank God for men who've said, hey, pastor, if this is something that'll help the missionary, this is something that'll help the children, this is something that'll help the education, then let's stand up and do what God has called us to do. That's the spirit of Joshua. If the Lord delight in us, he'll get this done, you see. Thank God for that. Here we see he was a man who was faithful. J. Sidlow Baxter said, what is the difference between an obstacle and an opportunity? Our attitude toward it. Every opportunity has a difficulty, and every difficulty has an opportunity. You see, here was a man who was proven in that he believed God was at work during the times, even when there were obstacles. He didn't say, look at the giants there in the promised land. He said, God, our big, great God can take those giants down. So many people have excuses. Oh, it's hard to witness. You can't witness in 2016. Oh, it's so hard. You can't raise a teenager. Oh, it's so hard. I get sick up to here with excuses sometimes. How big is your God? You got a big God, you got little problems. Come on, help me this morning. You got a little God, you got big problems. I'm just saying, Joshua had a great big God, and Joshua believed that God could bring them into that land, you see. And so thank the Lord for it. Now notice he was proven. Notice secondly, he was a servant. I want you to see what the Bible says in verse number two. The Bible tells us something about Joshua. Notice, please, rather in verse number one. Now, after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses. What's the next verse say, please? Minister. You know, so many young people growing up today, they want to go from the junior high basketball team to professional athleticism. They don't realize there's some steps in between. So many young people today, they want to go from being 18 years old to driving a brand new BMW when they're 19. So many people fail to realize that in a normal lifespan, there's some work along the way. And oftentimes in this instant success society, we forget that God wants to develop our character and our heart. He's more interested in developing the heart of a man. And here we see that Joshua was called Moses' minister. In other words, Joshua became a great leader because Joshua was a proven servant first. Moses, did you need some water, Moses? Moses, can I help you find a place to pitch the tent? Moses, you're going to go up to the mount for 40 days. You're going to meet with God up there. You study it out. When Moses was at the mount, there was a man at the bottom of the mount 40 days waiting, never left his spot. His name was Joshua. Just being a servant, he was a patient man, Notice, if you would, in Exodus 24:18, and Moses went into the midst of the cloud and got him up in the mount, and Moses was in the mount 40 days and 40 nights. Imagine that. I know a lot of Baptists, about the fourth or fifth day, they would have said, this is nuts. I'm going to Denny's for some coffee. I'm not waiting 40 days for him up there having his little prayer meeting. I mean, a man's got to have a break. How much vacation time do you have in this thing anyways? We need to organize a union. We don't need to be waiting down here at the bottom of the mountain while he's up there getting the Ten Commandments from God. That wasn't Joshua. Moses said, Joshua, you wait right here. Yes, sir. You know, I want to submit to you that God chose Joshua because he was proven in battle. God chose Joshua because he had a servant's heart. And God chose Joshua because he knew how to wait. He knew how to be patient. You know, can I just pause here and say, there might be something in your life right now that irritates you, that God gave that to you so you could grow in grace, and you need to just be patient. Well, I'll tell you, I think my company needs to give me a new desk. Really? I mean, is it worth losing your whole testimony over that? Well, my wife just doesn't know what she has in me. Really? Well, I'll tell you right now, my kids' school, there is something there. I'll tell you right now, I could do a lot better. Come and try. Maybe you should just be patient with your wife. Patient with your boss. Patient with your school. Patient with your situation. Now, you can fight it, gossip about it, argue about it. You can strike your company, or you can try to pray and wait on the Lord. Joshua wasn't trying to get little groups together to go against Moses. He was there to help Moses. And when God said it's time for transition, God looked for that sweet-spirited servant. God looked for that hard-working man. He said, that man right there has been so pure and sweet and godly and faithful that in this transition, I'm going to bless him. Hey, how many of you want God to bless your 2016? I want to suggest we take a lesson from Joshua, this proven servant of God. Because when God looked to bless somebody, he didn't look for the impetuous, self-willed. He looked for the man who knew how to wait. That's one of the things I've learned in 30 years of pastoring and hundreds of people that have served here in the ministry with us, and I'm privileged with everyone that's come. But I've often learned that sometimes you can't sign every purchase order, and sometimes you can't do everything, and sometimes the program needs to wait. And I've often learned a lot about the character of a person just by their ability to wait. I've often said you can learn more about a man in 5 minutes of a basketball game than in 20 hours of interviewing. Just let one thing go wrong. Foul, foul! The guy was all over me. Come on, ref! You can learn a lot about somebody just watching them play 5 minutes of basketball. Fellas, how many of you know what I'm talking about? I mean, you don't have to have a committee meeting every time you get a foul against you in basketball. Normally what you do when you're called for a foul, by the way, you just raise your hand at the ref. You know what everybody has to do now? They have to talk to the ref about it. Well, it wasn't that hard of a foul. Come on, ref. You know, sometimes it's good just to raise your hand and keep playing the game. Amen. Just keep going. I'm just saying, Joshua was a man who just kept going. He didn't get sidetracked. And so we see God chose him in this providential transition. Notice secondly, there was a supernatural provision. We see a transition from Moses to Joshua from 2015 to 2016. Now notice the provision, verse 3. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses. Notice in verse number 5, there shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee nor forsake thee. Now here's what I want you to remember concerning this moment of provision. With God's calling comes God's enabling. Let's say that together. With God's calling. Now, you remember when Moses was called, Moses had a little problem with what? How many of you remember? His speech. He stuttered. And Moses wasn't sure that he could even do it. And he said, but God, I can't even speak. So God gave him who? To help him talk. And somehow God proved his power through that situation with Moses. And now God says to Joshua, Joshua, you know I was with Moses and he had his weaknesses, but as I was with him, I'm going to be with you too. I'm so thankful for that today. God said, I'm going to take care of you. I'm going to work through you. I've sure enjoyed our theme this year. I'm thankful that we serve a God who said, I will build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. I'm glad it's not up to me to build the church. It's not up to you to build the church, but Jesus adds to the church such as should be added. And he said, I will build my church. Now notice what God provides for them. Two things very quickly. First of all, he provided the land. The land that was promised in verse 3 was approximately 300,000 square miles of land. In fact, if you study out what is mentioned there in verse number 4, you will find that Israel never claimed more than about 10% of the land. If you read the description in verse number 3, he says there, in verse 4, he says, from the wilderness and this Lebanon, even to the great river Euphrates, to the land of the Hittites, and the great sea toward the going down of the sun, all of this shall be your coast. And you know, the children of Israel never claimed all of the promise that God had given to them. They claimed about 10% of what God had given. And I want to just say this, Lancaster Baptist Church, let's not be satisfied with the 10% when there's more to be claimed for the glory of God in this Antelope Valley. God said, I'm going to give you the land. And then notice, secondly, he said, I'm going to give you the provision of protection. Verse 5, there shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so shall I be with you. Now you know the story. They were going to go into the promised land. They had seven nations to defeat, the seven Canaanite nations along the way. There was no way that they could do this in their own power. As they went into places like Jericho, they would learn that it would only be by the hand of God that this would be accomplished. And that's why we think of the scripture, 1 Corinthians 15:57, but thanks be to God which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Nay, in all these things we were more than conquerors through him that loved us. And God says, Joshua, I've chosen you for the time of transition and I'm providing for you what you're going to need. I'm giving to you now, Joshua, the tools that you'll need, the protection that you'll need. I'll give you the land, I'll give you the protection. And some of you might say, but pastor, I don't know how to live for God in 2016 or how to raise a godly family, or I don't know how to get the work done that God has called me to do. This is all you need to know, that if God is with you, everything else will take care of itself. Amen. He said, I'm going to provide you the land. I'm going to provide you the protection. In fact, notice thirdly, he says, I'm going to provide you my own presence. Verse 5. He says, as I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee nor forsake thee. Do you see that there in the verse? Verse 5. Let's read that together. Ready? Begin. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee nor forsake thee. One more time. As I was with Moses, I will be with thee. I will not nor forsake thee. God's most important promise was that he would be with them. Now let me tell you something this morning. We've had great men of God who were members of this church who are in heaven now. We've had great men of God who preach in this country who are in heaven now. But if I understand the precious word of God and the promises of this book, if I understand the presence of the Holy Spirit, then we serve the same God right now that those men and women before us served. And he says, I want you to know that as I was with Moses, I will be with you. Hebrews 13 and verse 5, let your conversation be without covetousness and be content with such things as you have. For he hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee, so that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me. Listen, friend, if God be for us, then who can be against us? The Lord is our helper, and we will not fear what man will do for us. And I want you to understand, the will of God will never lead you where the grace of God cannot keep you. And God said, yes, Joshua, it's a time of transition, but don't you worry. I've got some provision for you. And as I was with Moses, I'm going to be with you. I'm going to provide for you every single step of the way. I don't know what's coming in 2016, but I'm thankful that I serve a God who does know what's coming in 2016, and he'll provide every need that we have along the way. This is his promise to us. Then notice finally, there is a faithful decision. Now, it's one thing for God to say, excuse me, Joshua, you've been doing a good job. You've had a really good attitude. You've been a good fighter in battle. You were really patient with Moses. And boy, you've just been so dependable. Joshua, I'm going to choose you to lead the people. And I'm going to give you my presence. I'm going to give you my power. And I want you to know, Joshua, that that's all available for you. Now, that's wonderful. But the question simply is this. What would Joshua do? See, that's why I've entitled the message, God's Provision, Your Decision. God's giving you a new year. He's allowing you and he's allowing me to be alive in 2016. He's giving us his Bible. He's giving us his Spirit. He's giving us wonderful opportunities. The question is, what will we do with that? Many Christians, and I believe in this final days before the Lord returns, will apostatize. They will fall into a strong delusion spiritually. They'll get into little apathy attitudes. Some sociologists call it apathyism. It's kind of a cross between apathy and atheism. People that once said they believe will fall away. Will you fall away? Will you be so shallow in the new year that some little tiny little thing will cause you to fall away? You say, not me. But that's exactly what Peter said, was it not? Lord, I'll never deny you. What did Jesus say? Before the cock crows three times, you will. The question is, what will you do with God's promises in the new year? Well, notice what it says in verse 6. Be strong and of a good courage, for unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land which I swear unto their fathers to give to them. Now, God's promises are amazing, but we must claim those promises as our very own. So notice a few of the decisions that must be made. First, there must be a decision of courageous faith. There must be a decision of courageous faith. Be strong and of a good courage. Would you say that with me, please? Be strong and of a good. I don't know what you're facing. I don't know what we'll face. I just know what God told Joshua is applicable for us today. Be strong and of a good courage. You see, God's promises are always given in order to spur us on to action. And he says, I want you to be strong and of a good courage. They had not seen the land divided yet. They'd not seen a single victory yet. They'd not seen a giant fall. They'd not seen Jericho collapse. They hadn't seen any of it. And God's saying, before I do any of it, I want you to be strong in your faith that I'm able to do it. And so he says, be strong and of a good courage. Tozer said, the only fear I have is to fear to get out of the will of God. Outside of the will of God, there's nothing I want. And in the will of God, there's nothing I fear, for God has sworn to keep me in his will. Friend, you ought to determine today that in the new year, you're going to stay in the will of God. Stay in the center of God's will. Don't let anything take you out of God's will. William Tyndale translated the Bible into English while running from hostile authorities. After finally completing an English translation, the government bought every single copy they could and burned them. Instead of viewing this as a setback, Tyndale was grateful. All the sales provided enough money to fund an improved translation. He kept translating the Word of God until he was martyred in 1536. His ministry lived on, and his work was one of the main sources used by the King James translators. I'm simply telling you, your work is not in vain when it is done for the Lord Jesus Christ. Have courage. Keep doing what God has called you to do. There must be a decision of courageous faith. Secondly, there must be a decision of complete obedience. Now look at this, verse 7. Only be thou strong and very courageous that thou mayest observe. Notice this, observe to do according to all the law. Now, I want you to say this phrase with me, and stick with me now on this. He says, I want you to observe to do. Let's say those words together. Observe. Okay, one more time. Observe to do. God didn't say, I want you to come to church and just look at what I have in my Bible. I don't want you just to observe. He said, I want you to observe how? To do. Look, our purpose this morning is not to come and learn something for educational sake. It's not to evaluate something for the sake of evaluation. We are here this morning to observe so that we can know better how to do what God has called us to do. And so he says, I want you to have a decision made that you will be completely obedient unto the Lord. Observe to do. And notice what he says in verse 7 there. He says, observe to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded thee, turn not from it to the left hand nor to the right, to the right hand nor to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. He said, if you want true prosperity, then it will begin with real obedience to my word. If you want to be prosperous in this life, then it must begin with a walk of obedience to my word. Roger Staubach was the Heisman Trophy winner and best college player in football. I think back in the late 60s, early 70s. He then became the superstar quarterback for the Dallas Cowboys, back when they were humble and loved God and other such things. Sorry, fellas. Despite the fact that he was a Heisman winner, despite the fact that he was a brilliant man and a what you could call a godly man, despite the fact that he was very, very intelligent, Tom Landry, the coach, sent every single play into the quarterback. Every single play, he told Staubach, here's what I want you to do. Run, pass, do this, do that. And even though Staubach considered Coach Landry to have a genius mind, when it came to football strategy, pride could have very easily come into his heart. All the other quarterbacks called their own plays. Why was the coach treating the quarterback like this? I mean, he could have run the offense on his own. Staubach later said these words, I faced up to the issue of obedience. He said, once I learned to obey, there was harmony, fulfillment, and victory. He went on to win 2 Super Bowls. What was his secret? Learning to obey and listen to the coach. You want success and prosperity in the new year? Learn to listen to God. Observe to do. God says, look, I'm going to give you the provision that you need, but you're going to have to learn to do what I tell you to do every single step of the way. There must be a courageous faith. There must be a complete obedience. Finally, there must be a decision of continual meditation. Listen, as we go into the new year, I want you to see this final verse, verse number 8. It says, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. God says, I want you to meditate in the word. I want you to muse on it. I was talking with one of our young men yesterday, came back from secular college, last Sunday. And I was talking to him about how things are going there. And I said, you're not letting the liberal mindset affect you. You're not allowing your heart to be pulled away from God. You're staying faithful in the things of God. He said, yes, sir. He said, I've been having my faithful time of devotion with the Lord. You see, like those of old, like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, he was not bending, he was not bowing. Why? Because he was meditating. Look at what the Bible says there. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth. Listen, Joshua would never make it if he did not continually meditate in the Word of God. And we'll never make it in the new year if we do not meditate in the Word of God. Look at Colossians 3:16. Let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your heart to the Lord. Now, God has provided a new year. The question is, will you courageously follow Him in the new year? Think of Joshua. a providential transition. Moses, my servant, is dead. A supernatural provision. Joshua, as I was with Moses, I will be with you. But there had to be a faithful decision. Joshua had to courageously believe that God would lead him, and he had to observe to do whatever God led him to do. My friends, we're about ready to transition from 2015 to 2016. God is allowing a providential transition. And God is going to give us the provision. He said, I will be with you. I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. How many of you are thankful for that? Amen. How many of you are glad that he's not just with you for 2015, but he's with us for every year, for every day? The question is, will we observe to do? Will we have a courageous faith as we approach the new year? Will we put our faith and trust in him? And like Joshua, will we say, and like Caleb, will we say, I want that mountain. I'm going to keep trusting in my God every step of the way. The new year is a time of transition, but rest assured that God is with us. And let us courageously follow his word into the new year.